Hello, welcome to my presentation with the title Recycled Nidium Iron-Borne Magnets for Improved Supply Resilience and Product Sustainability of Motors and Generators. My name is Maria Schönfeld. I'm the head of Department Magnetic Materials from Fraunhofer IWS, located in Hanau in Germany. First, an outline of my presentation. I want to start some insights about our institute, where we are, what we are doing. And then I want to give some motivation why it's important to recycle these important magnetic materials and what kind of political requirements we have. And after that, I want to show you some different recycling concepts, how we can recycle different magnetic materials. And the main part of my talk is the results part. Here, first of all, I want to show different disassembly and sorting techniques we are researching, and then two case studies, the recycling of conventional nidium iron-borne magnets and also the recycling of gain boundary diffusion processed magnets. These magnets we find in electromobility applications where we need or where we have a higher temperature and we need a higher coercivity. And at the end, I want to give a short summary and outlook. And Fraunhofer IWS, I said, is located in Hanau, Hessen. We have two sites, also in Bavaria, in North Bavaria, in Alzenau. Two sites have two independent departments. In Alzenau, we find the bioeconomy department, also the digitalization of resources. With these colleagues, we are working close together in terms of life cycle assessment, all our magnetic materials, more sustainable magnetic materials. We calculate with the colleagues what is the benefit in terms of ecological or economic benefits, what are the costs of new magnetic materials we are developing in Hanau, and the other side in Hanau, we have also two departments, energy materials. These colleagues are working on recycling of mostly lithium-ion batteries. And our department is a magnetic materials department. And what we are doing, you can see here, we have three pillars of our research. First of all is recycling. We are researching different or new innovative recycling techniques and also the first improvement of already existing recycling techniques. And of course, if I want to recycle these magnets, I need to get them out, to dismantle them from different devices. Also here, innovative dismantling techniques is also a very important research topic from us. And the second point is elemental productive manufacturing processes, efficient manufacturing processes. My colleague Conan Opel yesterday had a talk also here on this stage. He showed our two-powder method is a patented method similar to the gain boundary diffusion process. We are able to produce a core shell structure in a magnet, but with our method, it's also possible to produce any large magnet. We are not limited to a specific size, and we are able to produce large, high coercive magnets with a reduced content of especially critical heavy rare earth elements. And the third pillar is a substitution of critical elements. Here, for example, we use more abundant and cheaper rare earth elements like cerium or lanthan to create magnets we can use in different applications. And of course, besides this, when we're producing magnets, manufacturing magnets, we have also large analytical department for measurement of different chemical, mechanical, or magnetic and physical properties of our materials. We built up in the last 10 years, we were founded in 2012, and from 2014 onwards, we built up a pilot line. It's still unique in Germany and also in Europe. We also find a small number of institutes which can process the magnets in the similar batch size. So we have, depending on the device, batch size of up to 50 kilogram. Stripcaster is the most, the largest device we have. And we are able, from the melting of the individual elements, from the alloy production, over the powder metallurgical processes, to the final coated magnet, we are able to produce sintered magnets in this scale. And Fraunhofer is an advanced research organization for advanced research, the largest one in Europe. And our research is between the more fundamental research from the university and the industrial magnet production. Besides, the main focus is sintered magnets, but we also have a large number of devices for manufacturing of polymer bonded magnets and hot deformed magnets. So here we make the material with partner from us, and we can also produce a material, or we use a material for the production of polymer bonded magnets, for example. As a motivation, why it's important, when we look here at the demand, when we look at the demand,
of the magnets, or the, here in this graph you see the development of the energy product as a value for the strength, how powerful a magnet is during the 20th century. You see here different kind of permanent magnets. For example, it starts in 1920 with steel, then 1930 we have the ferrites and zalnico were developed. And 1960, here mid of 1960, the first were Earth-based permanent magnet. The Samarium cobalt magnets were developed, and still here the graph ends 2000. And the neodymium-boron magnets are over 40 years old, but still today, neodymium-boron is a permanent magnetic material with the highest energy density at room temperature. And that's why we find these magnets in a large number of applications. It starts here in some gram, consumer electronics, mobile phones, for example, also some kilogram traction motors, some tons in MRI scanners, and up to in the offshore gearless wind turbines, we find over 17 tons as the largest ones. And when you look at the different magnetic properties of the energy density, you see that it's not so easy to substitute, for example, such a powerful magnet with a weaker one. Then I would have have to use a larger magnet, a higher magnet mass. And then for traction motor, it means higher mass. I will reduce the range of my electric vehicle, such small consumer electronics, mobile phones were not possible with larger magnets. So that's why we can't substitute these magnets in any applications without losses of performance. And the demand is shown here, according to this study, according to this increase of the electromobility sector and the wind energy sector, that's the most driving force is both for increasing demand for high-performance magnetic materials. And according to this study, alone in Europe from 2020 to 2050, the demand will increase from 10 kilotons to up to 55 kilotons. A look on the market here, it's very, I think most of you are familiar with this. We have a monopolistic market situation. It starts here with the mining of rare earth oxides. You see China has a market share of 60%. We also see some countries like USA or Myanmar, Australia. But when they come to the oxide processing, China near 90%. Malaysia with 11%, but this material comes from Australia because Australia has too high or strong environmental laws. They are processing the material in Malaysia. But then in the rare earth metal, metallization processes, China 91% and permanent magnet production 94% is a very monopolistic China-based market. And here also the development of more sustainable magnetic materials can be one solution to lower the dependence on these Chinese imports or exports. And Germany is the second largest importer of, after Japan worldwide, the second largest importer alone 2023, 8.5 kilotons we imported. And from all these magnets, 92% comes from China. This market situation, of course, has a strong influence on the price. You see here a large price peak 2011, 2012. This is called rare earth crisis. That was also the time when our institute were funded. But at the moment, last year, it's still not the best situation. We have last year this trade war between China and the US, also in Europe and also in Germany. Some companies, last year, there was a newspaper, you can read it. So some companies were not able to produce motors, for example, because of a lack of supply of neodymium-boron magnets. And here also the recycling or the development of more sustainable magnets also can be a solution to lower this situation, to improve the situation. And besides these economic issues, we have also environmental footprint of the primary materials. One ton of, for example, here rare earth oxides produce up to 1.4 ton radioactive elements, uranium and thorium we will find in the ores, and also a lot of wastewater, waste material, and also some problem is that rare earth containing products have often a negative image. We use them in green technologies like electric motors for electric vehicles or wind energy, but the primary, so mining of these elements, and then we use such elements in the products will have a negative image. And this also we could improve with the use of more sustainable magnets. To tackle these problems, the Union introduced some regulations or laws 2024. And here, Critical Raw Materials Act, we have two important articles, Article 28 and 29. 28 is important for the magnet users, for motor manufacturer or loudspeaker manufacturer. Here, it depends on the mass, which is in the product. The users have to label the products with some very important information we need for efficient, cost-efficient recycling. For example, how much magnets are inside of a first, what kind of magnets is inside the product? Is it a neodymium boron, samarium cobalt magnet, or ferrite? And even if you have a neodymium boron, also important information is which kind of which grade we have. It's a high coercive grade with more rare earth content, or even with critical heavy rare earths, or it's a high remanent grade with less rare earth content or without heavy rare earths. And then where are the magnets located? How I can dismantle these magnets in the future? Motors needs demontage anleitung in German. It's a destruction dismantling manual for the recycling companies to be able for the recycling companies to get these magnets more efficient, cost efficient out of the devices. And also the coating is very important because there are a lot of different anti-corrosion coating on the market, and every anti-corrosion coating has a own specific effect on the magnetic material, and a magnet recycler needs this information to be able to choose the correct way how to tackle, how to handle these magnets, how to remove the coating, and all this information a magnet user with a label has in future from 2030 onwards to present this for this efficient recycling, industrial magnet recycling. 29 is then more related to the magnet manufacturers. They have to publish that they fulfill these requirements of the Critical Raw Materials Act, especially the usage of 25% recycled rare earth elements, and also they have to publish where the rare earth elements come from. But that was a more material-related law. This eco-design requirement with digital product passport has also the aim to introduce more circular, friendly products, to to strengthen the use of recycled material, to create more sustainable products, and also to lower the CO2 footprint of a product. And these both laws will all contribute to the increased demand of more sustainable permanent magnetic materials. But now, how we can recycle these magnets, there exist some methods which were developed since the rare earth crisis in the last 10 years. And first of all, when we look here at this value chain from the magnet production, the blue boxes shows us this elemental stuff, the mining of the rare earth elements, the individual separation of the individual rare earth elements, the metallization of the oxides, and then the production of the rare earth magnet alloy. And the green box shows us a powder metallurgical production process to produce a sintered magnet. And when we start here at the end, rare earth magnet, end of life magnet, of course, the most sustainable way would be a direct reuse. I will also show you, we did this in our study, but of course, you need to identify applications where I can directly use the magnet with the same properties. In most of the cases, it's not possible, so then I have to make a recycling. In recycling, we have two different options. We have the long loop recycling approach, so we go here from the end of life magnet back, so that's why it's called long loop, to the individual rare earth separation, or it's not necessary to separate every rare earth element, but it's important, for example, to separate the light rare earth element like praseodymium, neodymium, from the heavy rare earth elements like dysprosium and terbium. And then with these rare earth mixtures, also the aim is here not to produce a magnet, but to produce rare earth elements which then we can use for the production of new magnets. The short loop approach, although we do it all at part of IWS, the long loop in a lab scale, but our pilot line I showed you is more related to the short loop approaches. Here we stay in this powder metallurgical system, although we use the whole magnet. The aim is to make out of this end of life magnet a new magnet, not individual elements, but a new magnet. We have two options for this. First of all, we can remelt it, for example, with a strip casting process, also with an inductive melting process. If I have oxidized waste streams or a higher impurity content of my magnet, then I can use a remelting process also to reduce the oxygen content because there's a slag formation, and then the resulting magnetic alloy will have a lower oxygen content than the starting material. But due to this slag formation, I have also some losses, up to 30%. Of material loss, but I can lower the impurity content. If I have a good material with low impurity content and I don't need to melt it, melting always means high energy consumption, higher costs, then I can directly use a hydrogen degradation process to make with this process a powder, coarse powder out of the end-of-life magnet, and this then I can further mill, align, sinter to recycled magnet. But you see, it depends on the waste stream, impurity content, which method I have to use. Also, for example, magnets from consumer electronics, they always shredder it. Laptops, mobile phones, such that we have contamination of polymer materials, other steels and copper material. it's not feasible for this short loop approach. Such shredded material fractions we can only recycle with long loop approaches, but large applications, wind energy generators, for example, traction motors from electric vehicles, where we have large magnets, where economically economically feasible to get the magnets out. These larger magnets, these waste streams with low impurity content are better for these short loop approaches. And also, when we look here on this graph, we have, instead of the sintered magnets, we have all the polymer bonded magnets, hot deformed magnets. Also depends on the magnet, what kind of magnet you have, because a polymer bonded magnet, we have a polymer matrix, which is a magnetic powder inside. Here also some hydrometallurgical long loop approaches are better than instead of the short loop techniques. And yeah, here again, the production chain, how the linear production chain, of course, we want to create a circular economy for permanent magnets. How we do this at IWKS, we see in this video here. That's our strip caster where we melt the alloys, it's our largest device. Then, of course, we have the MRI magnet, we cut it for reuse to cut smaller magnets out. We then use it, for example, in electric motor. That's scrap magnets from electric motors here. Wind turbine magnets, HDD magnets. So we have different sources of end-of-life magnets. With this hydrogen deputation, this coarse powder then we are filling into a can for transportation to our jet mill. That's our jet mill here. We mill it to below 10 micrometer. We are filling our pressing forms under argon atmosphere, then align our magnetic powder to a anisotropic green compact with 66% density. And after pressing, then we sint it in our furnace to fully dense. Primary magnet or also recycled magnet. And of course, we are measuring the different properties like the magnetic properties and also very important, the microstructure analysis for optimized rare earth distribution for improved magnetic properties with improved rare earth content. But this was the sintered magnet production. I also mentioned the magnets, polymer bonded magnets. We have another technique, that's a melt spinning technique. You can see in this video now, that's a rotating metal wheel, similar to the melt, to the strip casting, but here we have a 10 times higher rotation speed and therefore higher cooling rate. Here we are producing nanocrystalline or amorphous material, and this we can't use for the sintered magnet, but we use this for polymer bonded or hot deformed magnet production. And also here we can, such end-of-life magnets, we can melt here and produce then recycled polymer bonded magnets or hot deformed magnets out of end-of-life sintered magnets, for example. But the goal is to create such a circular economy, and if I have a well-sorted large magnet from a good waste stream with low impurity content, like I said, I can directly use this as a feedstock for the recycling process. I start here with a hydrogen deputation process. I don't need the melting process. And how it works, we see here the schematic microstructure of such a magnet. We have two phases. We have ferromagnetic neodymium iron boron matrix phase. It's important for the high energy density and remanence. And this matrix phase is surrounded by a rare earth-rich grain boundary phase. So it's important for the high coercivity. Without this, we were not able to produce a hard magnet. It would be a soft magnet. And both phases react with the hydrogen. We have different volume expansion, up to 8%. And that's why we have, along this grain boundary phase, a embrittlement to coarse powder. You see it here on the SEM picture from a HDD powder particle. You see along the grain boundaries here large cracks. And that's the reason in the video again, why such an end-of-life magnet decapitate or coarse powder. Of course, it's coated with anti-corrosion coating. We have to destroy the coating at some point that the hydrogen can there react with the magnetic material. Then the main part is I want to come to the results, the disassembly. Here on the left side, so see different processes we need for the primary magnet production. For example, the mining, beneficiation, the leaching processes, solvent extraction, all this we need to produce some rare earth alloy or individual elements, all the strip casting. It's part of the primary production. Here on the right side, you see it's a case of the functional short loop recycling approach, because also the magnets, we have to dismantle the magnets from the applications. In this case, it was a rotor. We can also need similar processes for loudspeaker or for other applications. And when we compare our processes, for example, with the life cycle assessment, of course, we have to look what kind of inputs, outputs I have here and here. And in sum, the functional, the recycling magnet should have a lower environmental footprint and also lower costs. But here, for example, as a motor, first of all, we have to separate the rotor from the starter and from the rest of the motor. Then we're normally pressing out the rotor shaft to reduce the mass. For the next step, the thermal demagnetization, because lower mass means also lower energy consumption and lower costs we need for this thermal process. And afterwards, after thermal demagnetization, we're normally able to remove the magnets. Now, sometimes the magnets are glued, therefore I also want to burn them in the thermal process, but also these magnets are very powerful, and all the devices, the furnaces, everything is made from steel, so also in terms of safety, to be able to handle these powerful magnets, it's good here to demagnetize these magnets at this point. And after the extraction of the magnets, we can clean, we can characterize them, and then we can use, if they're not non-contaminated, the showed hydrogen degradation process. And this process steps, milling, alignment, sintering, grinding, coating, is the same, you see it, it's the same processes like for the primary production. There's a good advantage is that the most environmental friendly way to recycle a magnet, which is hydrogen-based short loop recycling. And normally every magnet producer has the techniques, these devices. Of course, the parameters from every step is a little bit different from primary to recycling process, but the general process steps are the same or very similar. So every magnet producer should be able to, to recycle the magnets with this technology here. And in case of magnet disassembly, here example, sometimes magnets are glued, sometimes they are mechanically fixed. In this study, it's also published, we analyzed different, you see it here, different rotors. All the rotors have different geometry. Also, this has the influence how the magnet can be removed or not. And some of the rotors use the glue. And here, for example, we have three different glues. The blue curve here shows us at 550 degrees, for example, we have a mass loss of 70%. So most of the glue is burned after the thermal demagnetization process. That's fine. So the magnets can easily be removed. But the black curve, 45%, the red one, 20% here, yes, the glue has a higher temperature stability. And normally we use, the neodymium boron has a Curie temperature of 370 degrees. We normally heat up to 400 degrees to be sure, to be safe. And you see these glues here have a much more higher temperature stability. That's not necessary, because a higher temperature means it increases the chance to get some impurities, oxygen or carbon from the glue, the magnet. And then if the magnet has an impurity uptake during this process, with a short loop recycling, I'm not able to remove this oxygen or carbon. And then I will make a downcycling. This uptake of impurities will lower our magnetic or resulting magnetic properties after the recycling process. And that's why we should avoid this. And also higher temperature means higher energy, higher costs. And we are always, every recycled magnet in Europe on the market, we have to, so primary magnets from China, they are very cheap, much more cheaper. There are studies that a European magnet costs 1.5 to 2 times higher costs than the primary magnet. And that's why also we and other groups are working on this to make everything, starting with the dismantling of the magnets, to make everything as cheap as possible, because with cheaper dismantling, with cheaper recycling processes, we will hopefully also able to reduce the costs of a recycled European base or European manufactured magnet. And you see it here, for example, for force thermal treatment, we have only oxygen at the surface, that's fine. We can resandblast and grinding, we can remove this, but here after the thermal treatment, we have oxygen uptake in the surface, and here we're not able now, we have to grind it, of course, but then also such a step would also increase the cost of the dismantling of the recycling processes, and this we should avoid. In the past, nobody take care about, it was the reason why you use glue, it should be fixed, but nobody was thinking about how to remove the also materials, magnets, also the copper. And this we call it design for recycling, design for disassembly, and that's also for the development of new motors, new generators. Really, we have to thinking when we're developing new machines, electric machines, we have to think about this design for disassembly for the next generators or the motors to make it more economy circular friendly. And we have for this, we have different devices in IWKS, not only for motors, also for loudspeakers, for laptops, for mobile phones. We have, for example, impact mill. That's a very large mill. We can use hundreds of different devices at the same time. It's a cost-efficient way to recycle or to dismantle magnet-containing products. We have also some robots. Of course, it's maybe sometimes it's more cost expensive, but also cheaper than to use people to dismantle, to ferment, also still automatic assembly technique, not a manual one. And also we have the electrohydraulic fragmentation. Here we have a water baths with shock waves, and this we also use for dismantling of batteries, but also for electronic products, consumer electronics, which we tested here several times to be able to remove the magnets from these devices. Besides the dismantling, it's also important the sorting. We have also now from this year on, at the moment we're starting with the first experiments, an X-ray sorter you see on the left side. Some years we have a modular sorting plant here. Here we're also able not only to sort magnets, but also to sort different polymer materials, to sort copper, to sort steel. Here we have complete waste streams, shredded material fractions. We can sort here to be able to use these magnets then for a recycling or reuse process. In the center you see sorting with LIPS, laser-induced breakdown spectroscopy, also very nice method, fast, cost-efficient method to sort different kind of permanent magnets. For example, the black dots here show nickel and boron, the red ones are nickel cobalt, and the blue is strontium ferrite. And you see here that we have quite nice resolution, so we were able to sort with these magnets different kind of permanent magnets, but also the different black dots here, different nickel and boron grades, also the resolution is good enough to sort a high coercive from high remanent grades, even in this nickel and boron alloy system. And yeah, when we are sorted, when we have dismantled the magnets from the devices and sorted them, then we can recycle the material. Here's the two case studies I want to emphasize now. First, the conventional magnets with a normal, I would say, microstructure. And the second case study is a grain body fusion magnet with a special microstructure. Here in this study is also published that we tried this open loop recycling because in the industrial recycling, it's not, that's a more realistic case. So because we're just starting with the recycling and the waste streams, we don't have enough material from one single application to be able to use this material, for example, for one specific motor to recycle it and to use the recycled mat in the same motor or the same application. That would be a closed loop. It's unrealistic. More realistic is this open loop. For example, I use wind energy magnets from wind turbines, recycle them, and then I have different possibilities how I can adjust the resulting magnetic properties over this powder metallurgical process, and then I use such wind energy magnets, for example, in the traction motor of an electric vehicle. Yeah, we did this here, we recycled magnets here. That's a demagnetization curve of 100% recycled magnets from MRI scanners, from pumps, and all the wind turbines and industrial motors. And then we mapped these remanence, coercivity, and we were looking in which application we can use these magnets. I want to emphasize here that the 100% recycled magnet, when we remember the Critical Raw Materials Act, we don't need a 100% recycled magnet. Only 25% of the critical materials of the rare earth should be recycled, and even 25 or 10% recycled magnet is more economic friendly, also environmental friendly, with a lower environmental footprint than a primary magnet. But here, for research, we have recycled the whole magnet. It's a 100% recycled magnet. And we tried to build up some demonstrators with recycled magnets. We used, or we decided for three different micro-mobility applications, a pedelec, an e-scooter, and a hoverboard. Also here, we analyzed how easy it is or difficult to remove the magnets. You see here, for example, pedelec, we have an internal permanent magnet synchronous machine. Here is the magnets located in these pockets. And the other two examples, the e-scooter and hoverboard, has a so-called surface-mounted permanent magnet synchronous machine. Here the magnets are not in pockets, they are just around, they are on the mounted, glued on the surface, and it's, this case, for example, it's much more easier to remove the magnets from the application. We also analyzed the magnets which were installed here. You see here large variety of the resulting magnetic properties. But when we analyzed the microstructures, that was very important information for us. We see here that the pedelec case, we have only neodymium praseodym inside, but it is good and hoverboard with the reverse magnetic properties. We also find, I think it was up to 8% and 14% cerium content, 7% and 14%. Cerium is much more cheaper, for example, $4 or $5 per kilogram compared to neodymium with 80 or 70 US dollar per kilogram. And here the magnet producer uses this cheap, more abundant earth element cerium. It's feasible, it's good enough to get the magnetic properties here the device needs, but with this usage of cerium, he's able to produce, to reduce raw material costs and also to reduce the costs of his permanent magnet. But for recycling, that's why it's important in the future to label these magnet-containing devices and also the waste streams, because I should avoid, because of these different magnetic properties, I should avoid to mix cerium, for example, this scrap batch with this one here, because then I'm not able to be sure what I will get. So I should know what kind of rare earth contents are in my magnet, how much rare earth are in my magnet. At least I should separate heavy rare earth from light rare earth to be 100% sure, to have a control how I can mix my material and to be sure what I can get after my my recycling process. And then at the end we recycled all these applications, and then we measured these primary applications, these three motors from this Pedelec, e-scooter and hoverboard, and then we also removed the primary magnets and installed the recycled magnets from different applications. For e-scooter and hoverboard we used magnets which were originally used in pumps. And you see here in both cases, both curves is electromotive force or induced voltage over the whole entire speed range. We have here the same properties. So we were able to show us that we can use such 100% recycled magnets in these applications. And in the case of the Pedelec on the left side, it was a reused magnet. You saw it in the video. This large 11 kilogram MRI magnet we cut to smaller pieces. And then because the MRI magnet was the same properties I need here in my Pedelec. And here we were able to identify a possible waste stream for direct reuse of end-of-life magnets from MRI for such Pedelecs. The second study was then the recycling of the resource-optimized grain-bound diffusion magnets. Here, these magnets have, as I mentioned, it was a core shell structure. The magnet is coated with a heavy rare earth source. It can be sputter coating or a slurry of rare earth containing material. And then during a heat treatment, I have a diffusion along the grain boundaries from the surface to the inner side of the magnet. We are creating such a core cell microstructure. And here, so heavy rare earths are only at the edges of the grains, because here the demagnetization process starts. Here, they are only necessary here. For example, when we analyze magnets from electric motors for 10 years, the magnets have maybe 8% dysprosium. The same grade with the same properties today has maybe 1 or 1.5%. We have a drastic reduction of this very critical, very expensive heavy rare earth elements due to an optimized microstructure. And the question now was how this microstructure will be changed through this hydrogen-based recycling process. And therefore, we use such, you see it here, a half kilogram of magnets from electric motor, and we recycle them. Here on the left side, that's a demagnetization curve of the black curve shows a 100% as a primary magnet. The red dashed line is a 100% recycled magnet. We see here that we have some losses in remanence, but it's due to impurity uptake. We can't avoid 100% uptake of the impurities. So we have always some ppm of oxygen, for example, during the sintering process. But what was new for us was this large decrease here in the corrosivity, over 20%. We normally, for a conventional magnet without this special microstructure, we don't see such a large here decrease in the corrosivity. So we annealed the recycled magnets at different temperatures. You also see, depending on the annealing temperature, we have different corrosivities. The remanence is not affected. This shows us that the distribution of the rare earths inside the microstructure is changed by the thermal processes, by these annealing processes. And also during recycling, the magnets see again 1,800, 1,100 degree as sintering. Also after that annealing process. So the assumption was that the recycling process is the reason why we have a decrease in corrosivity and also a changed microstructure. We analyzed then as a microstructure. We see here in the first row, it's an end-of-life magnet. And then with the HD powder and a jet mill powder, we see here, well, hopefully you can also see it from your place, but here we have at the edge of the grains, we have a slight enrichment of terbium. That's a shell from this core shell structure. But when we look at the recycled magnets, the complete terbium content is more smeared. Because of this recycling process of the second sintering step and annealing step, and we also made line scans here at different positions. We see here clear peaks at the edge of the grains in case of scrap magnet, HD powder and jet mill powder. But they're getting broader here in the recycled magnet, very broad peaks. That means that we have a diffusion from the edge of the grain to the inner side, and the reduced heavy rare earth content at the edges of the grains where the demagnetization process starts. And that's the reason why we have, in case of the recycled magnet, a reduced coercivity. But I want to emphasize that this recycled magnet, even we have this reduction causivity, it's the same very nice rectangular squareness, rectangular magnetization curve. And with this open loop recycling concept, we can only find applications where we can directly use this recycled magnet. But for scientific reasons, and also because we want to show what we can do, first of all, we also analyzed the microstructure more detail in the, with the atom probe and atomic scale. The same here, because this is the microstructure, the elemental composition in the grain, or as the outer regions of the grain. Here we have some micro chemical composition and distribution of elements in the grain boundary phase. We see here also scrap magnet. We have, for example, gallium and copper is also very important for the causivity of a magnet. Two peaks here. In terms of the recycled magnet, only one peak. Also, through this heat treatment, we have maybe a non-optimized now distribution of the elements. Also, this influence is also one reason why we are reducing the coercivity. But then, of course, we want to optimize the magnetic properties. We reapply the grain boundary fusion process. We coated the magnets again with dysprosium and with terbium, sorry, and we were able to see it here to restore this cross-shell microstructure. We have again clear sharp peaks of terbium in the outer region of the shell. When we look at the coercivity here, the black curve shows us a scrap magnet. After recycling, you saw the demagnetization curve, the red curve, we have this reduced coercivity. But again, with the restoration of the core shell microstructure, the recycled magnet, the blue curve here, we were able to fully restore the coercivity. But of course, if you recycle a magnet and then apply again this process, maybe it's a cost-efficient process, but like I said, even the 100% recycled magnet without with the reduced coercivity is very good, shows very good results, and we can use it directly in some kind of different applications. But we are also able to restore the values, the magnetic properties, and the microstructure. Yeah, to sum up my talk, I hope I can show you that we can use these more environmental friendly, more sustainable recycled magnets in different applications like electric motors, and also that the grain boundary fusion magnets, we have a special microstructure, and this microstructure is influenced by the recycling process, but we are able to restore the properties and also the microstructure. And yeah, with all, in both cases, in the conventional magnets, also in terms of the grain boundary fusion magnets, yeah, we have magnets which is reduced CO2 footprint. And yeah, we can use these magnets in different ways. And also, it's one way to reduce the dependence of the Chinese magnet industry and the monopolistic market. But still, we have to still solve some problems. I mentioned that we need really to reduce the costs of recycled magnets, which are manufactured in Europe or in the Western world. We need cost-efficient, automatic dismantling strategies and techniques. Also, really, we have sorting techniques we need. And the most problem, the largest problem, I think, at the moment is to a lack of a constant, large enough material waste stream for industrial magnet recycling. That we have to solve. And yeah, but then I think we are able to use these processes for industrial magnet recycling to improve the magnet industry in Germany, in Europe, in the Western world. And also, we are publishing our results. You can download these papers for free, most of them. Also, if you can in contact with us, we can also send it to you. And also, the DERA study, the last one was a rare earth recycling magnet market in Germany. At the moment, we make an update, so it will be published this year. Then it's called Recycling of Nearby Modern Magnets in Europe. So we also we look outside of Germany, what is the market now in Europe, because since last 1-2 years, we have a lot of newcomers, startups, companies, also initiatives to get the magnet, the European magnet industry together. And that's why we make this update of this study at the moment. And thank you for your attention, and I would be happy to ask some questions.
I have a question regarding sintered NdFeB magnets, same grade. Are there any different methods to remove different coatings, like epoxy, zinc, or like an eye? Thank you.
For sorting with this LIPS technique, this is a laser. He's destroying the coating, and then also a second laser, which is evaporating some kind of the magnetic material, and then analyze the elements. As I say, for the sorting with LIPS, there's no, it doesn't play a role which kind of sorting we have. But for the recycling itself, then, of course, for example, nickel, copper, nickel, we don't have to remove completely. That was in the video. just to destroy the coating at one point, then the hydrogen can introduce the magnetic material, because nickel copper nickel, we get after the hydrogen process large platelets, so it's easy to sieve them out. Instead of zinc, for example, zinc coating, it's very fine, so we are not able to sieve them out, zinc coating, but its advantage, it, during the sintering process, it evaporates. But you have to know this, because then you know the temperature where the zinc is evaporating, because then you can insert a holding time in the sintering process, because if you don't do this, then you would create pores, you would reduce the density of the recycled magnet, and also epoxy. Epoxy is quite difficult to remove from the powder. Epoxy is the coating which should remove completely in front of the, for example, with chemical etching or also with sandblasting to remove before we put the magnet inside the hydrogen device. No further questions? Then you have my contact info details here. You can also write me an email, get in contact with us, also with my colleague Konrad Opelt. And then thank you again for your attention, and I wish you a nice day here at the fair, and also a nice day at Amsterdam. Thank you.